The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
You can live a pain-free life, and better yet, it can be done without drugs and medication. Welcome to Mastering a Healthy Life with your host, Judy Poole. Our show will help you to become responsible for your own health by bringing you the tools, positive attitudes, and confidence in order to get you back to good health and keep you there. Now, here is your host, Judy Poole.
Welcome, everyone. This is Judy Poole, and the show is Mastering a Healthy Life. My guest today is Dr. Gregory Saltanoff, and today we're going to be talking about the inconvenient truth about back pain. Now, if you remember, Dr. Saltanoff was on the show previously talking about the problems in offices and how that really is creating a whole new array of muscular problems. Now, if you recall, he is a third-generation chiropractor. He is the author of the Movement Handbook, A Cure for Our Addiction to Sitting, and he is an active chiropractor with two practices. They're both located in Kingston, New York. One is Saltanoff Chiropractic. The other is Saltanoff Spinal Strengthening and Rehabilitation. He is also the creator of Voom, a micro-break wellness program designed to change the way we live and work through movement. And he lives in Saugerties, New York. And you can contact him through www.voomwell.com. So, Dr. Gregory, thank you for coming back on my show.
Judy, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here once again.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. You're such a wealth of information. I just love having you.
No, I always enjoy our talks as well and have for many years.
Yes. Well, today we're talking about the inconvenient truth about back pain. Now, back pain is the most common reason people give for visiting their doctor, and it is a $240 billion industry. That's $240 billion a year. A great majority of people suffering from back pain in this country will be treated with pain medications, prescription pain medications, and increasingly with surgery. Now, Dr. Gregg, what is your experience with patients who come into the office that have already seen another doctor for their back pain? And what kind of diagnosis and treatments are they getting?
Well, Judy, that is an excellent question. And there is a little bit of a paradigm shift happening from what I'm seeing in my office. And what we know and what we're realizing is that the number one reason that people between the ages of 20 and 55 years old go to their medical doctors is for some type of musculoskeletal pain. So when you're 28, you don't tend to go to your medical doctor for, you know, serious chronic illness, but it's your back hurts, your neck hurts, your knee hurts. So most of the visits that the medical doctors are getting as primary care physicians, as PCPs, tend to be musculoskeletal in nature. Now, the problem is they're not musculoskeletal specialists. So we have to look at what tools they have available within their toolkit, and we also have to look from a liability issue of what might be, from their end, what they might be seeing. But sometimes low back pain in the rare occasion can be indicative of kidney stone or something more serious. But most of the time, when you strain your low back, you just strain your low back. You have a low back injury, we're dealing with muscles, joints, ligaments, tendons, and we have to address it as such. From the medical profession, their standpoint is that they need to really have a confirmed diagnosis. That protects them. So the first thing they're going to do is you know, a light exam. Then they're going to send you out for an X-ray or possibly an MRI. Now, 99% of back injuries that are not traumatic in nature, where you haven't fallen off, you know, a 5-foot ladder, you don't need an X-ray, you don't need an MRI. It's soft tissue or joint in nature. So we're seeing an overutilization of these diagnostic imaging. So we're seeing the prices go up in premiums for insurance because they're sending people out for these expensive MRIs, which are $1,000 each time, and expensive X-rays. They're also exposing people to radiation. And then when the tests come back, they're fine anyway. Now, people don't have a broken bone. So then what's the answer at that point? The medical doctor will either write a prescription, which we're going to talk about that more in a minute because there's some interesting points to that, or they make a referral. They send the patient to a chiropractor. They send the patient to a physical therapist. So at some point, skipping that initial visit and that initial X-rays and MRIs, and we're looking at about $1,000 in cost savings. We're looking at an extra 3 days without being in pain. And the patient winds up in the same place anyway because they have a musculoskeletal injury. Most of the time, it's a sprain or a strain. Now, with that said, there is pain. So if you're somebody who injures your back, you'll know this. You throw your back out. There is pain. You do have inflammation. The way the body responds to everything is by becoming inflamed. You cut your hand, it swells. You sprain your ankle, it swells. Bronchitis, asthma, any of the itises are inflammation. And then you do have muscle spasm. Now, muscles don't just spasm for no reason. They're usually what's called muscle garden. So you injure a joint in your low back. And I'm saying low back, but this goes for the mid back and the neck as well. You injure the joint, it swells. The swelling puts pressure on the nerve, which creates pain. And then your body goes, uh-oh, that could be dangerous. If that joint is really unstable, it could cause paralysis of that nerve, so it locks the area down. That's when you have that muscle tightness. And the way to tell whether it's a true muscle strain versus muscle guarding is that in the same way if you pull your groin, and it's better in 2 or 3 days, muscle guarding won't get better. So a true muscle strain is self-limiting. It heals in a couple of days. If it's still very painful or getting worse, then it tends to be muscle guarding. Now, the big question is how much medication do you want or how much should you get prescribed? Because when you're in a lot of pain, I am very much okay with treating symptoms as long as you're going to fix the underlying problem. Because the swelling, the muscle spasm, and the pain are the symptoms of the underlying joint instability, but it can be very, very painful. It can affect your quality of life. And the way that I recommend, and the reason for that recommendation, is first I recommend people get on an anti-inflammatory. And I recommend an anti-inflammatory because it's the inflammation that creates the other symptoms. You reduce the swelling, which is also why you use ice. Reduce the swelling, takes pressure off the nerve, relaxes the muscle, and all the other symptoms go down. Then at that point, after the anti-inflammatory, I recommend a muscle relaxer. That'll help the joint realign. It'll help you sleep better. And if needed at that point, a very short dose of the appropriate pain medication. As we're seeing now in this country, is a massive overutilization of prescription pain medications, which is really causing some significant problems. And I think that we'll talk about that a little more in the show a little later as well. But it's something that the medical profession has taken into their hands. They give people a diagnosis of a lumbar strain. They see these X-rays, and they tell the patient, you know, here's your choices. Here's this pain medication. they feel better, but they've taken a lot of that information and control out of the patient's hands, and they've taken it into their own hands, and they're really not the specialists. So I really see that as the biggest concern that I have when somebody comes from another doctor who's not a musculoskeletal specialist, who does send them out for all these additional tests, who does send them out for all these prescription medications. And the first thing that I need to do is really get the patient kind of straightened out in terms of what's actually happening in their body.
Oh, do you use some of these tests that they can bring in that they've already done?
I do. So, and I do in a couple of different scenarios. Now, if you have an MRI done or if you have an X-ray done, it can be very beneficial in a couple of ways. One, there is something to be said for peace of mind. You know, people absolutely love having that type of testing done. It's something about the security. They can make sure that they're not, you know, dying of cancer. Everybody thinks that they have the worst possible diagnosis. So I will look at it with them and say, look, there's nothing major happening here. You don't have cancer in your low back. You don't have any broken bones. But we can see some mild arthritic change, and we can see some mild degenerative disc disease, which is probably really 75% of what I see come through my doors is mild to moderate in nature. Now, even severe, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say this the last thing, and even severe degeneration and disc bulging doesn't always correlate to how the patient feels. So that's something that we can touch on a little bit later as well.
Yeah, because I know when you have back spasm, it really hurts. And the muscle guarding, because I've had it, it really pains the whole, it's a long period of time. That much I know.
It's severe pain, debilitating.
Severe pain, yes it is. Now
I hear, go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Now, a lot of people oftentimes go to surgery now to get their discs or their back straight or fused or whatever they do.
Yeah, I try to really avoid that procedure. And there's a couple of times when it is very, very necessary. And that's when you've exhausted all of the other options. There are times when the disc bulge is so severe that there is the concern of enough pressure on the nerve that after a while, the nerve will actually begin to demyelinate and break down. There's a specific axonal flow, which is the nutrients in the nerve, they have to get the nutrient flow, and if there's enough pressure, it can be dangerous. And then there are other factors that, depending on the nerve root, you can have weakness in the legs. People have what's called foot drop. It can also affect the visceral component, that there's an anterior portion of each nerve that goes to some of the sphincters of the bladder. So people oftentimes who have a severe L5 or S1 disc bulge or nerve root compression will see that they have incontinence with that as well. And that's the time that warrants an emergency surgery. But for the most part, if somebody is sent for an MRI, and this is what I was alluding to a little bit earlier, you will see some amount of arthritic change. You will see some amount of degenerative disc disease. But if I send somebody out for an X-ray or an MRI, and I'm sending a 45-year-old woman to have these tests done, and it comes back, and it's perfectly normal, and they have a spine of a 16-year-old girl, then that would be weird. And we expect a certain amount of degeneration to happen. We expect a certain amount of arthritic change. But it doesn't mean that you have to be in pain, and it doesn't mean that you have to live with pain now for the rest of your life. So I do see that quite frequently, that people go for a test. The doctor says, oh, you have all kinds of arthritis in your back, and you're going to have to learn to live with it. And I think that that's a little bit of a cop-out of a way to treat somebody. Now, here's your x-ray. You have arthritis. You have a disc bulge. Here's some painkillers. Take these until it gets so bad that you can't take it, and then we'll do a surgery. And I think that's really an inappropriate way to treat a human being, you know, more as a statistic than as an actual person, versus saying, yeah, look, here's your x-ray. It shows arthritic change. It shows degenerative disc disease. We can try a couple of different solutions for this. We can try conservative chiropractic care or physiotherapy or physical therapy. We can try strengthening the area. We can try non-surgical spinal decompression. So there are some alternatives for what's out there, and especially because we're seeing such an increase in low back pain. I recently read an article that you were mentioning this to me earlier about the prescription pain pills, and that back pain has increased 533% since the 1990s. So there are some specific, there are some interesting numbers that are out there.
Yeah. Now, the takeaway of this is that before you have a surgery, really, you need to exhaust all methods basically pain mediation.
Thank you. I always enjoy our conversations because I tend to be long-winded and you tend to condense it down. Yes, the purpose of all that is you should really try everything before having a surgery, because once you have a surgery, the problem really comes from the scar tissue. So once they do the incision, the residual scar tissue tends to lead to a lot of long-term problems, including loss of range of motion. If you do have a spinal fusion where they fuse two vertebrae together, your body has to maintain the same range of motion, so you still have to bend forward. So the segments above and below tend to become hypermobile to compensate for it, which can then lead to more problems in that area, which can then lead to the need for further surgeries and so on and so forth.
Okay, so we're at our break time. So we'll take a break and come back and talk more about this. So you're listening to Mastering a Healthy Life with Dr. Gregory Saltanoff, and we will be right back. Thanks.
Visit Judy Poole's website at becomepainfree.net to find out more about our services and products. We offer home and professional devices for personal pain management. You can start healing immediately. The site offers four programs designed to reduce pain and inflammation. Plus, you can find out about becoming biofeedback certified through Avazia. The Avazia devices are made in the USA. There are professional devices for medical use. Included in the price is an instructional class. You can become CEU certified with the instructional classes. You can also meet other professionals who are successfully using Avazia. There are also products for seniors, pets, and home use. Learn more about isometric muscle balance and get on with your life, keeping your pain management in check. Visit becomepainfree.net or call Judy directly at 845-339-8383 for more information. We are here for anyone who has an active lifestyle, has had accidents that have affected them physically, people with migraines, disabilities, or any physical ailments. That website again is becomepainfree.net.
If you are in the Kingston, New York area, visit Judy Poole and the rest of Howell's Healing Wellness Group at 211 Hurley Avenue, Suite 5 for your health needs. This includes Dr. Dave Howell's DC chiropractor, Tim McArdle, licensed massage therapist, or Judy Poole, certified in both biofeedback and the isometric muscle balance technique. Call 845-331-6653 for Dr. Howell's, 845-389-0755 for Tim McArdle, or 914-388-4782 for Judy Poole. If you are in need of an Avazia device for your pain management or resolution needs, go to the product page at www.becomepainfree.net and order a device, or send an email to orders@becomepainfree.net. Judy will contact you and will work with your doctor and teach you how to use your Avazia Best device. Again, visit the website at becomepainfree.net
or send Judy an email to orders@becomepainfree.net.
You are tuned in to Mastering a Healthy Life with Judy Poole. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you have about the show or any of the techniques we've discussed. Please send your emails to va@becomepainfree.net. That's va@becomepainfree.net. Now, back to Mastering a Healthy Life.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Gregory Saltanoff, and this is Mastering a Healthy Life, and I'm Judy Poole. And we are talking about the inconvenient truth about back pain. And we just got a dissertation on why you should exhaust every other possibility if you have a back pain before surgery. As we said, it's a $240 billion industry for back pain. So the next part of our discussion is going to talk about diagnosis and treatments of back pain. So, Dr. Greg, are you still with me?
I am. Thank you, Judy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, okay, so what do you think leads to the misdiagnosis and mistreatment of back pain?
Well, Judy, we called this show An Inconvenient Truth because I think in this country we'd all like to believe that whatever is wrong with us, our pain, our mental state, our money woes, can be fixed quickly and easily, and that's just not the case. There is no magic pill or magic surgery. As with everything, it takes time and energy to fix these things. So I think the misdiagnosis and then the mistreatment of these problems come from, on one hand, the medical profession and chiropractic and alternative medicine, and then the mistreatment that, you know, it is easy, as we spoke about before, to send somebody out for an X-ray and to say, look, you have arthritis in your low back. That's why you have pain. And here's a pill. Take this pill once a day, and you're going to feel better. So that's really it, which is, I'd say 90% of the people that come through my door have been misdiagnosed, and they're getting the wrong treatment, which is called a structural problem. So if you go out and you have an X-ray done, it takes a picture of your spine. You can see what the structures are doing there and what shape they're in. But it doesn't tell you how well they're functioning. So if everybody who had arthritis in their spine was going to have pain, every one of us over the age of 35 would be in pain. Because the arthritic change, which is osteoarthritis, which is degenerative joint disease, which is by the nature of its name degenerative, means these things get worse over time. So our spines are obviously not in the same shape when we're 35 or 40 versus when we're 18. So we send this out, we get an X-ray done, we see some arthritic change, and they say, well, that's what your problem is. But that's usually not the case. Because if you were pain-free 2 weeks ago, and this is a great one for everybody who's listening, this is a great one to remember. If you were in relatively pain-free 2 weeks ago and you develop back pain, you go have an X-ray done and they show arthritis, you certainly were not arthritic-free 2 weeks ago and now your back became arthritic and now you have chronic pain. So it's not the way the body works. It does break down slowly, but more likely what's happening is you have a functional joint problem, which is 99% of low back injuries are really a functional issue. And my job is to figure out what caused it to stop functioning properly, to fix the functional problem, and then send people back to their job doing the right things to keep it functioning again properly.
Right. And the skeletal injuries we're talking about, where do you think most of them come from?
Well, good question. Very good question, because that has changed significantly in the past decade, and it's one of the reasons that we developed the software and the wellness program that we did develop. And I'm going to give myself a little plug here, but for whoever is listening, if you go to www.voomwell.com, there is a much more in-depth discussion of this, and also some deeper answers and some solutions. But the basic idea is that years ago we had manufacturing jobs, and we were building stuff in this country. It was a manufacturing society. So we had injuries that were from activity. We had injuries that had a very specific cause and a very specific time and date. So someone who was in the line, they were building something, they remembered twisting, picking something up, and they hurt their low back. Very, very specific in nature, and we treated that a certain way. Now what's happening is the injuries are much more insidious in nature, meaning there's not that direct correlation from the event because they are much more of a repetitive strain injury. So as in the before, they were traumatic in nature, one-time event. Now what we're seeing are things like prolonged sitting causes the wrong pressure on the back, and that causes an injury over time. You don't have pain when you sit at your computer the first day. Well, some people do, but most people, after sitting at the computer or driving on a bus or a truck driver, after years of that activity, that repetitive strain or repetitive motion injury, that's what causes the breakdown of the joints, and that's what causes the pain to come into effect. Essentially, it's like putting a lift in one side of your shoe and constantly walking around like that. It might not hurt the first day, but after days and weeks and months of walking like that, eventually your ankle will hurt you.
And then your knee goes wrong, and then your hip hurts. And
yeah, then everything
and it carries on.
Compensates. Yeah, then you go see your medical doctor who sends you for an X-ray. Then they see arthritis, and then they tell you, well, you got to live with it, and here's some pain medication, and you know, now you're stuck in that cycle.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not necessarily from work either. It could be like sleeping or even standing or gardening, pulling your weeds wrong, or could be anything.
All of those things. And I think that really leads back to the original question of, why are we seeing this misdiagnosis and then this mistreatment? Because of the fact that they are insidious in nature. And the way that you feel today and the way that I feel today isn't from what we were doing yesterday, although it is in part, but it has to do with mainly our daily habits. So my day-to-day tends to be the same. I get up at 7:30. I have the same habits in the morning. Then I do a 30-minute drive to work. Then I'm on my feet for 5 hours. Then I sit at the computer for 4 hours. Each one of those things has its own unique injury to it. Sleeping on my stomach puts me in hyperextension, causes damage to my low back and my neck. Driving with my seat too far back puts me in what's called an anterior head transfer, puts pressure on the lower part of my neck. The muscles in the neck fatigue. They can't support the spine, and there's pressure to the ligaments of the neck. Then you develop neck pain. Then you sit at your computer, you have your right arm extended out, as I'm sure many of you are right now, and you're looking at a repetitive strain on the right shoulder blade, both wrists from typing. You get back in your car and drive home. More strain on the neck, you sit on your couch, strain on your low back, you get back into bed, and there's strain, again, that same cycle. But changing some of those habits is really the key.
That's right, and that's what we have to do. So can you talk about some of the things that we can do to prevent or alleviate the pain, as long as it is from one of the things you're talking about?
Well, if it is, in fact, from the musculoskeletal, from the functional problems, so having the correct diagnosis is the initial most important factor to make sure whoever you're seeing is the specialist, to make sure they have the right working diagnosis. Then, if you need to address it medically, you know, with painkillers and anti-inflammatories and possibly surgery, you have to be aware of that factor. Otherwise, the right way to do it is to figure out what's causing the problems and making small changes for the better. So for all of your listeners out there and who are aware of the New Year's Eve, the resolutions, and the January 1st diet, the reason that those don't work, and I was actually last year I was invited to speak on this topic, and we had a really fun time talking about it, because everybody, you know, claims they're going to diet January 1st. It gives them an excuse to eat over the holidays, and everybody puts on weight, but they're going to do better January 1st. So then, of course, January 1st, nobody does it.
Okay.
But it's the big changes that are really hard to do. The small changes are the things, and over time, I used to have this saying when I was in school that doing the right thing over and over again is the definition of success, and do the right things consistently over time. And those are really the ways to do it. So if you change one habit a month, is a very good place to start. So in January, I used to recommend just taking a multivitamin. That's all. That's the only change you make in January.
Okay.
In February, you just add getting up once an hour from your desk. If you're sitting for more than 5 or 6 hours a day, which the research shows it's over 75% of employees are now sitting 7 to 10 hours per day. And it's getting longer. It's really amazing, the numbers that are coming out.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, that's the biggest one. You know, I'm sure there's people who disagree, but, you know, nutrition is obviously important, and if not as equally important. And of course, emotional health is a big one. People are really not taking care of themselves in terms of the level of stress in our lives. But if we do something to the effect where in January we do our multivitamin, and then February, even if once an hour you get up and you just do 10 squats, and you do that 5 times a day, all of a sudden that day you've done 50 squats, and then the next day you do 10 push-ups, and you've done 50 push-ups. And what you'll find is doing it slowly so it doesn't interfere with your day, you're much more likely to stay with it. And that's the key.
Right.
All of a sudden, somebody wakes up January 1st. They try to go to the gym for 3 hours. You know, their wife gets mad. Where are you? Then they try and cook all this new food that doesn't taste well to them. It doesn't work for a reason, because it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. And it's just those little changes, oftentimes, that at least help keep the back straight, and it helps alleviate stress.
All of the above. You change your posture in your car so that your head isn't 3 inches forward from the headrest, where when you're on the thruway, it should literally be against the headrest. It's called the headrest for a reason. You put your head back, it allows the muscles to relax, and your spine is in a perfect posture versus that anterior head transfer. We have something called the perching position, where you sit on the chair, your pelvis is forward. That also keeps the correct posture in your spine. The micro breaks in moving around, inactivity in itself is one of the primary reasons for repetitive strain injuries, and also a lot of the chronic diseases that we're seeing, including diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease. And people don't realize it, but I'll give you a good example. If I take a bowling ball and I hold it very close to my body, I can hold it there for a long time. But if I take that bowling ball and I hold it straight out in front of me with my elbow bent, So my elbow is by my side. I'm holding this bowl ball. Even if I don't move my arm at all, there's a strain on my elbow. And over time, it's a repetitive strain, you know, which I could probably only do for 10 or 15 seconds.
Right.
But what happens when you're at the computer is you're sitting with this posture, your pelvis is tilted back, your shoulders are rounded forward, your arm is reached out in front of you, so you're leaning to the right, and all of a sudden it's 3 hours later. Even though there's not a lot of repetitive motion, there can still be a lot of repetitive strain. So, and even though that, you know, that's a little technical, I hope I broke it down, anybody who sits at the computer is right now going, well, no wonder my neck hurts me so much by the end of the day, or no wonder my low back bothers me so much. Of course, that's where the pain has been coming from, that I'm sitting more than I ever have. And I used to get up and do files, et cetera. So we do see some amazing results with this type of behavioral change. And with Voom, and Voom Well, we actually just started something called the Micro Change Challenge, where we really put people to the test to take small changes or to make small changes throughout their daily lives.
And do they record that on Voom? What did you say, Voom Well?
It's the website is voomwell.com, and the product is Voom. And yes, they do change. They do track that, and they get points for it, and they win accolades. So this way they can challenge each other, you know, on one floor, you know, floor 6 versus floor 8, or the west wing versus the east wing.
Okay.
It's a good way for bosses to track their motion and keep people moving.
That's a great idea. That's fantastic.
No,
well,
thank you.
You're welcome. We're up to break time again. Goes so fast. So let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about this more.
So, well, thank you.
Thank you. So you're listening to Mastering a Healthy Life with Dr. Gregory Saltanoff, and we will be right back.
If you are in need of the Nevazia device for your pain management or resolution needs, go to the product page at www.becomepainfree.net and order a device, or send an email to orders@becomepainfree.net. Judy will contact you and will work with your doctor and teach you how to use your Nevazia Best device. Again, visit the website at becomepainfree.net or send Judy an email to orders@becomepainfree.net.
Visit Judy Poole's website at becomepainfree.net to find out more about our services and products. We offer home and professional devices for personal pain management. You can start healing immediately. The site offers 4 programs designed to reduce pain and inflammation. Plus, you can find out about becoming biofeedback certified through Nevazia. The Nevazia devices are made in the USA. There are professional devices for medical use. Included in the price is an instructional class. You can become CEU certified with the instructional classes. You can also meet other professionals who are successfully using Nevazia. There are also products for seniors, pets, and home use. Learn more about isometric muscle balance and get on with your life, keeping your pain management in check. Visit becomepainfree.net or call Judy directly at 845-339-8383 for more information. We are here for anyone who has an active lifestyle, has had accidents that have affected them physically, people with migraines, disabilities, or any physical ailments. That website again is becomepainfree.net.
If you are in the Kingston, New York area, visit Judy Poole and the rest of Howell's Healing Wellness Group at 211 Hurley Avenue, Suite 5 for your health needs. This includes Dr. Dave Howell's DC chiropractor, Tim McArdle, licensed massage therapist, or Judy Poole, certified in both biofeedback and the isometric muscle balance technique. Call 845-331-6653 for Dr. Howell's, 845-389-0755 for Tim McArdle, or 914-388-4782 for Judy Poole.
You are tuned in to Mastering a Healthy Life with Judy Poole. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you have about the show or any of the techniques we've discussed. Please send your emails to va@becomepainfree.net. That's va@becomepainfree.net. Now, back to Mastering a Healthy Life.
Hello, we're back again. This is Mastering a Healthy Life, and we are with Dr. Gregory Saltanoff.
Hello, everybody.
And we've been talking about how to help your back and not have so many back pain issues. But we were talking about having bulging discs. So what else can people do if they have a bulging disc as part of this scenario of inactivity that we have in our life, of just going to work and coming back?
Very, very good question with the bulging disc, and that's one that I do get all of the time. Now, there's really two parts that I'd like to address with that, because, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, and you can really see how all of these things are related, is that very frequently with an MRI, somebody will come in with a diagnosis of a bulging disc, but just because we see it on the MRI doesn't mean it has the same effect as you would think it would. And actually, the research says that the correlation between an MRI and how we really feel is less than 50%. And I can seriously attest to this, because I see it every day, that people come in with x-rays where it looks like they're 90 years old, it looks like they should be on the ground, and you know, they're jumping all over the place. And then I have people who come in and they can barely walk in by themselves, and they have normal MRIs. So the way to look at it is that an MRI is a structural picture, but it doesn't tell us how well something is functioning. And the example that I use is, I tell people when I'm in my office, you can go out into the parking lot and take a picture of a brand new 2014 Corvette, and it's spotless, it looks immaculate, and you get in, you turn the key, and it doesn't start. And then right next to it, you have a 1984 Volkswagen Jetta, and it's got rust on it, it's got dents in it, but you get into the car and it fires right up and you drive away. So just because something structurally looks okay doesn't mean that it functions properly. So the real question now becomes is what's happening in your low back, and how is that joint in that area functioning because of that disc? And you can resolve that question one of a couple ways. I don't want to get into it too far during this conversation, but let's say we are dealing with a true structural disc problem, and we want to address that problem. So what are our options at this point? You know, there's pain management, which means painkillers, essentially.
Right.
So you're going to numb yourself up, and that usually leads to more injury because you don't feel the pain anymore, so you do things you shouldn't,
right.
And you do things you shouldn't, and that creates more disc bulging. More disc bulging means more medications, and those are highly addictive. And you know, this is one of the top concerns in corporate America today, is that people are going out with these low back injuries, and while they're getting out of these pain medications, they sit at home for 6 weeks, they eventually feel somewhat better, they go back to work, but then they're injured again because they didn't do anything to fix the problem. So pain management is one. Obviously, surgery is a second option. I highly recommend everybody try anything in their power to avoid that. And one of the units that we've come across is called a spinal decompression machine. And essentially what the decompression machine does is it puts a negative pressure within the disc. So if you picture stretching your body out, so you're laying on a table, and there's units under your arms, and it's stretching your head away from your feet. Sounds maybe a little medieval, but it's much gentler than it sounds. And what this does is it's similar to an inversion table. I think everybody can picture those tables where you go upside down.
Yes.
And by putting a negative pressure in that disc, what it'll actually allow it to do is bring in nutrients. It rehydrates the disc, and it can allow for that disc to heal on its own. And there's actually a very high number in the relation of how well that works. And there's also a very high number of disc problems, mild to moderate, that resolve on their own. So for all of your listeners out there, you know, what I really say to my patients is send them out for an MRI. They don't respond to conservative care. They still have some back issues that we think are related to the disc. I say, look, what I'm going to have you do is the spinal decompression. And what the spinal decompression is going to do is give your body the best chance possible to reabsorb that disc, to allow the disc to rehydrate so that you have the best chance of not needing a surgical intervention. And that's what we have. And when we talked before about those micro challenges and those changes, that it's not an exciting answer. It's not the biggest, flashiest answer. But you know what? It's the answer that works.
It does
it's
work.
The answer.
Because
yeah.
You did it for my neck. You did it on my neck. Because when I have Lyme disease, my neck collapses. And you always stretch my neck every treatment. And so when I did that, I was on it, and it felt so good.
I'm glad that you're saying that.
It was fantastic.
And I think that all of your listeners can picture being in that position where somebody is kind of stretching their neck out, because everybody tells me their neck feels like it's pounded in. And
yeah. It just collapsed. It's like it just collapsed back to your shoulders and in that funny, awkward position, and it hurt.
Well, all day long, what we're under is compressive forces. So even when you take a step, in a normal step, it may not seem like a lot, but it's a jolt coming up to your foot, and it's compressing every one of those discs down, which is why, and this is a test that everybody can do to prove that what I'm saying is 100% right, which, of course, it always is. But measure yourself in the morning when you first get up. So when you get up, stand against the wall. You know, don't write on the fancy wall in your house, but measure how tall you are. When you come home later that night, measure yourself again. You will be shorter. And what that comes from is during the day, the discs in your body dehydrate, and they lose that disc space, which essentially what we're trying to do with the decompression is, you know, like the fountain of youth. We're bringing that disc height back in. We're rehydrating the disc, bringing in nutrients. And most people find it incredibly relaxing and beneficial in a lot of other ways as well.
It is. It's wonderful. But then you had the other exercise portion of that.
Well, thank you. And that's why I always enjoy our conversations, because you keep me right on point with all of these things. So the final step, and this was one of our original sayings when I decided to open my second office, was fix it up. Excuse me, fix it up, strengthen up, and then keep it up. So, which really meant if somebody came in with a low back problem and it was functional in nature, meant low back wasn't working properly, they had an injury, it would really be 3 or 4, maybe 6 treatments, and they would be 99% better. That's really all it should take for all of you who are wondering, you know, 6 to 8 at most. Then what you have to do is address certain issues that might have been causing the problem. If your posture is terrible all day and you sit all day and you slouch in the car and your bed is not supportive, you have to address all of the proper ways to do this. And as sad as it sounds, what the common factor in our lives are is we're either working or we're sleeping, the majority of us.
Uh-huh.
You know, 8 hours and 8 hours of our day. So your back is better. You have your old habits, which you have to fix. There is a piece of equipment that I love to to use, and I'm going to use this equipment as an example, then we can talk about some other ways to do this as well. But it's called the MedX equipment. And it was invented by the same gentleman who invented the Nautilus equipment. So he definitely has reputation behind him for doing good work. And what it does is it isolates the true muscle stabilizers of the spine. So for all of you out there listening, here's another thing you can do. If you put your hand on your low back, the large muscle groups that you'll feel, you have a muscle group on the side, on the left side of your spine, a muscle group on the right side of your spine, those are your lumbar erectors. Those large muscle groups, and this goes true for every part of the body, as a matter of fact, those are the ones that help with motion. So when you bend forward and you pick something up and you straighten back up, those are the large muscle groups that help with that motion. But they're not the true stabilizer muscles of the spine. Those stabilizer muscles are these little deep intrinsic muscles that become deconditioned. And that's at the epidemic level of problem that I'm seeing in this country, is that on multiple levels, but in my specific field, it's a deconditioning of the musculoskeletal system, that we're too inactive, we're sitting too much, and as you would think, the muscles get weaker. Now, when most people go to the gym, they exercise the large muscle groups, but those aren't the muscle groups that when you sit down, those aren't the muscles that protect your back or protect your neck. So what we've done with the MedX equipment is we've figured out a way to truly isolate those deep muscles that will stabilize the spine. And it's one of those areas that, as much as I hate to admit this as a chiropractor, but the only thing that I ever hear negative about chiropractic anymore is that people say, well, once you start going, you have to keep going. But that's like saying once you start brushing your teeth, you have to keep brushing your teeth.
Right.
You don't have to brush your teeth tomorrow. But if you want a portion of what I consider to be a total health answer for your body, you get adjusted periodically. And if you sit straight and you watch your posture and you do your exercises and you strengthen the deep intrinsic muscles, it might be that you only need to get adjusted two or three times a year or one or two times a year. If you don't do those things, then you are likely to have pain, and you are likely to want to take medications, and you might need to get adjusted every 2 weeks. And I treat those people as well. I tell them when they're ready to make their changes or their small changes, they let me know. But other than using the MedX equipment, I would also recommend a ball chair. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
I don't think so.
Well,
where you sit on the ball and you do your work while you're practicing your balance, I guess?
For the most part. And I think this will be something that, Judy, you and I can talk about at a later time to really bring your listeners up to speed on some of the devices and the units that are out there available for them that they can purchase, whether it's the ball chair or the posture brace or the standing desk. Now, these are all things that are becoming more and more popular because people have questions about them, but they're becoming more and more popular because there's more and more sitting. So the ball chair, if used correctly, which it should be, use it for about 10 minutes once an hour, not all day, but 10 minutes once an hour, and you use it to take your little break, and you kind of shift from left to right and front to back, and those are the deep stabilizers that you're firing when you do that.
Oh.
Those are the deep stabilizers that protect your back.
Oh, okay. So the young people who are doing, really don't have their muscles developed yet, but are still playing games and doing all those poor posture things?
Right, yes.
This deconditioning syndrome that we're coming into, Are you finding anything more detrimental in that age group?
It's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. And you know, as usual, you're point on with that question, because this is now starting with kids who are 10 years old, and they're sitting all day long, and they have that posture where, you know, iPad-itis and texting-itis, where they're, and anybody listening to this who's involved with the real world knows that position that little kids have when they're slouched forward. And the problem is that by the time they're doing it from when they're 10 to the end of high school, and then they're doing it in 4 years in college, and then they come out to a job that they are also going to be inactive and likely at a computer. Here's the statistic, and this is another amazing statistic that blows me away. It's 1 in 2. It's 50%. So if 2 new employees are walking into a building over the next 10-year period, one of them will develop some type of musculoskeletal problem with that job. It's 50%. But if you think about it, they've already been doing something bad. So let's say they're 24. They've been doing it wrong for the posture for 14 years already. By the time they're 34, they're likely to be in pain. And the other interesting number is that the average age, the median age of when people are experiencing discomfort or their first bout of musculoskeletal pain, has dropped close to 10 years. 10 years. It's gone from the late 30s to the late 20s because of our lifestyle change.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing, but if we look around, and I think this is why people are so interested in what you have to say and are so interested in your show, because they do look around and they do feel it within themselves, and they know something's wrong. They know they're in pain. They know they're not sleeping as well as they used to, and they're looking for answers. And they're tired of turning to drugs, and they're tired of trying things that are, you know, 7 steps to a better body and 12 minutes to perfect abs, because those things don't work either. Otherwise, everybody would have perfect abs, and everybody would have,
we'd all be really good health. But we're at the end of our show, so can you sum it up quickly? Like, have everybody go to roomwell.com and take a second look at this.
Thank you. Again, my name is Dr. Gregory Saltanoff. You can check us out at www.boomwell.com. And for all of you listening out there, to Judy Poole, good health and keep moving.
Thank you very much. And thank you for being on my show again.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And this is Judy Poole, Mastering a Healthy Life. And thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you again for listening to Mastering a Healthy Life. Please join your host, Judy Poole, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Be sure to visit Judy's website at becomepainfree.net for more information about our show and what you've heard today.